It's about summer recess time in Washington, at least starting this week. But yesterday, just a day before the break, North Carolina Representative Mark Meadows surprised his colleagues with an attempt to oust Speaker John Boehner.
It's our weekly look now at the latest in national politics. Also this week, Senate Republicans introduced legislation that would defund Planned Parenthood. And some Democrats harshly criticized the Obama administration's nuclear deal with Iran.
Harry Enten is a senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time. Hey, Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So this motion that Meadows used hasn't been used in a long time. What is it?
I mean, this sounds like Don Quixote to me, to be perfectly honest. I mean, what we have seen over the past few years is we hear these rumblings from Republicans, conservative Republicans, members of, who support the Tea Party, that every single year we're going to see, oh, John Boehner's going to be overthrown. We don't like what he's doing. He's compromising too much. And this year is no different. We just have some, you know, piece of parliamentary maneuver that no one has really heard of in forever, and no one really understands. And this guy does it because he just feels it's the right time to do it. And it's just ridiculous. John Boehner is not going to be overthrown. He's not going to be overthrown today. He's not going to be overthrown tomorrow. He's not going to be overthrown next year. He has the members who are necessary to keep him afloat as a speaker. And this is just some Tea Party supporter who is upset, who probably wants to appeal to some, you know, constituency or some fundraising group. And they just do this every year, and it's a waste of time because it's not going to happen, at least in the current environment in Washington.
Now, it sounds as though some in the GOP are upset with Mark Meadows because of the timing of all of this when there's so much debate going on around the Iran deal. Does this divert attention?
I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. Look, Republicans want to keep their eye on the ball. They want to keep their eye on Iran, and as you mentioned in the opening here, that they want to keep their eye on Planned Parenthood. And anything that's a distraction from that is a bad thing for them. And it takes up press. The Washington media covers it instead of covering Planned Parenthood or the Iran deal, and it points to Republican division. When Republicans want to be able to say we're unified and that we want to move forward on these important pieces of legislation for us, and anything else is just a distraction.
Now, Mark Meadows, in this motion, did drop a list of complaints with John Boehner. What did he have to say? What is he upset with?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they're just really upset with, you know, Boehner compromising too much. I mean, it's very difficult to be able to tell what most of these people are very much upset about. You know, they are upset because they believe that Boehner is going after them, that, you know, they're stripping them of certain appointments, that they're trying to stop, you know, certain things that these different groups within Congress, you know, are doing, these different caucuses. They're taking subcommittee gavels. But all of these are really minor complaints. And most Republicans just don't think that they're very, very important, which is why you didn't see anybody supporting Meadows when he went after Boehner.
Now, is there any chance that this thing could gather some momentum over the August break and come the end of it, there's something real here to talk about?
I mean, you know, anything is possible in the world of politics. I mean, if you had asked me a few months ago that Donald Trump would be leading the Republican primary, I probably would have said that you were crazy. So, you know, anything is possible. But, you know, we've seen this play out so many times before where, you know, we've seen members of the Republican caucus upset with Boehner, and much stronger efforts than this, you know, leading up to a new Congress when they, you know, do normally select a new speaker. And they have gone just absolutely nowhere. So why should this time be any different? If anything, this seems to be a weaker effort than those of past years.
We're going to move on to talk about the Iran deal right now. And Secretary of State John Kerry met with the House Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday. And it sounds as though there's been some pushback among Democrats. What is the scene like on this?
Well, you know, the real question that we're looking for here, that we're trying to answer, is whether or not that you can get a majority of the House and the Senate to vote against that. Remember, Republicans control each body. But what they need is a supermajority. They need to override a veto, you know, two-thirds. And there are going to be Democrats who are going to vote against the president on this, specifically Democrats who care a lot about Israel. So we're talking about, you know, members who represent Jewish constituencies. And there does seem to be some Jewish congressmen who are very hesitant on this deal, who are not very happy, who do not like the explanations that are being given to them. But the thing to keep in mind, again, is that they need not just a few Democrats, they need a number of Democrats to be able to override the veto. And when we're looking to key votes, like we're looking to Sandra Levin, who's a longtime Democratic Jewish congressman from Michigan, he's behind this. He is behind the president on this. So, yes, there are going to be votes against the president, but at least at this point, it doesn't seem like there are going to be enough votes to be able to override the president's veto.
Does it look so far as though the president is then, as you say, winning that war in terms of public support or congressional support, I should say, for the Iran deal?
Sure. I mean, you know, I guess it's your definition of winning, right? I think most people have a definition of winning is that you get more votes than you don't get. The president's not winning in that way, but he is winning in the way that's most important, and that is that he's going to have enough Democrats in his pocket to be able to sustain his veto.
And public support on this is slipping a little. For the president, though, is that going to matter?
Well, you know, obviously, I think if you're president, you want the people behind you. But the polling does indicate that, yes, there is some slippage. You know, there was a CNN poll out this week that had, I think it was 52% of Americans who said that they weren't in favor of the Iran deal, at least as it was described in the CNN poll. But remember, this is a president who is not facing re-election. This is a president who knows what he wants, and he wants this deal to come to pass. And I don't think that Americans who, to be perfectly honest, depending on how you ask the polling question, you're going to get different responses, which indicates that there's not a high knowledge base working with the American people here. I don't think he's going to care all that much.
We're getting the latest in national politics right now with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. And checking out some campaign news this week, Hillary Clinton made some headlines by determinedly not answering questions about where she stood on the Keystone XL pipeline. Where is that taking her right now?
Well, you know, this is one of the chief critiques of the Clinton campaign, whether it be this year or whether it be 2008 or whether it be ever, which is that she is a politician, that the Clintons are politicians. And what do politicians do? They stop, they pause, they look at the polling numbers. They don't want to say anything that's going to upset anybody. And so this is a perfect example of that. The Keystone pipeline polls very well in most of the polling among the general public, but it does not poll well among Democratic constituencies, especially Democratic activists. So Clinton, in this situation, sees that and is saying, I'm not going to answer that question until I need to answer it, in the hopes that most voters just won't care. And the truth is, most voters probably won't care. This is not going to be something that's going to, you know, really stumble her. But it is part of a longer-term pattern of her, you know, being not afraid but not willing to issue positions, positions on issues. And those, when they come together, cumulatively they could mean something, but this individually isn't really going to hurt her, I wouldn't think.
I'm guessing Bernie Sanders, though, has not been stalling on this question. So is this something that could gain some steam and come back to hurt her?
Yeah, I don't remember the last issue Bernie Sanders stalled on. Maybe what ice cream to get at Ben and Jerry's. But, you know, he is obviously not going to stall on this issue, and he's clearly going to come out, you know, against the Keystone Pipeline. But you know, that makes it a difficult thing for her, obviously, when they face off in a debate. But Clinton's just so far ahead at this point and has so much support within the party, and the environment is just not that important an issue to most voters, and it's especially not that important of an issue to the voters that Clinton's counting on most, you know, minorities in big cities and just people who are more conservative within the Democratic base. They're certainly going to matter to the people that Bernie Sanders who are Bernie Sanders supporters, but they're going to vote for him anyway. So, you know.
Is it likely that this issue is still going to be out there, undecided by the time she or whoever else wins the election gets to the White House?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, look, it's Washington, D.C. They, you know, they couldn't pass a ham sandwich around, you know, the congressional body. So anything is obviously possible, especially in D.C. So it might not be decided. So she may eventually have to come about and issue a decision on this. But I think that she's going to wait it out in hopes that she doesn't have to issue a position on it and that it will just be what it is for her.
Now, lastly, Senate Republicans have introduced legislation to cut off federal funds to Planned Parenthood. Now, this is in the wake of two videos coming out about the donation of fetal tissue. Catch us up on where we are on this.
I mean, you know, what we are essentially seeing are a number of Republicans who want to just, as you said, defund Planned Parenthood. And it's because of these videos that are coming out. And if there's one issue that tends to, you know, bring the Republican Party together is that it's, you know, the anti-abortion party or the pro-life party. And this is a way in which you can unify Republicans a lot, and you get a lot of money that's flowing in to the Republican Party from pro-life groups, and Republican core Republican voters are very much pro-life. Unfortunately for them, there are at least a sliver of Republicans, such as Susan Collins up in Maine, who are going to, you know, oppose this measure. And more than that, in order to defund Planned Parenthood, you're going to have to obviously overcome, you know, a filibuster potentially from Democrats in the Senate. And more than that, you'd have to overcome the president's veto, which is just not going to happen. They're just not the votes there. So to me, this is one of those things where, yes, it's certainly an issue that should be debated, and Republicans are going to debate it, and they're going to try and bring Republicans together, but it's not anything that's actually going to happen. They are not going to be able to defund Planned Parenthood, at least with the current political environment and current videos that are out right now.
How much money does Planned Parenthood get from the federal government?
Good amount, but a lot of it is, you know, remember, a lot of this is for other things that Planned Parenthood does. You know, they're not just an abortion provider. You know, they provide a lot of quote-unquote health, you know, benefits or, you know, health procedures to women. And a lot of the money that is given to Planned Parenthood is specified to be used for those purposes. That's obviously not often discussed because I think most people think of Planned Parenthood as the abortion provider, or, you know, providing people with the knowledge of how, you know, how to plan for potentially one. But that's one of the things I think is often missed in this discussion, that a lot of the money is set aside not just for, you know, abortions, but for other medical procedures and medical advice.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.